At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 543. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffee is with me on a very busy afternoon here in Las Vegas. Summer winding down. We both had some very, very busy mornings. You, of course, Cole Coffee, attended the Nevada State Athletic Commission meeting, which we will be talking about. Certainly some developments there. Not an eventful day, but certainly some important things done there. You know, solid journalism out there, Journalist of the Year type stuff, covering the commission meetings. I had a similarly busy morning checking out the new Costco that opened up down the road.
Important things.
You know you're starting to get up there in age a little bit when you're like, oh, the old Costco's opening up. I think I'm going to roll by there and check it out. So met the wife. The wife had some breakfast with some friends of hers while I was getting some important CFFC stuff done around the house. And then I said, you know what? I'll meet you over there after breakfast, and we'll check out the new Costco just down the street from the house. Yeah, I'm at that stage of my life, bro.
Next thing, you're going to say you did like me and stopped by the old Tractor Supply that's just down the road from you as well.
It's so funny that you told me the other day you were going, because I saw that and I'm like, why is there a Tractor Supply? Like, here what even is that in Las Vegas?
Nevada, like, it's like Vegas. I'm just like, did they get lost?
And now I know somebody that actually shops there.
I do. I might be one of the only few people, but no, you get the, when I pull in my regular fucking car, everybody else is a truck and other stuff. They're probably like, I always feel like they're judging me. They're like, who's this? Who's this civilian?
Oh, they're definitely looking down on you.
Showing up in here in his little sedan.
No business being in here. I will say the new Costco, very close to the house. I'm excited. I am actually excited. As silly as that is, Costco is great, but in Vegas is kind of funny that it's not like, I feel like in Dallas, like if something, where I grew up, if something was like 20, 30 minutes away or whatever, like, yeah, whatever, it just is. In Vegas, like, if something's 20 or 30 minutes away, like, you don't drive that far, especially to go, like, shopping or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, you're not going that far. So this one's like 8 minutes from the house or whatever, so it's close.
That's nice.
So I am looking forward to it. So we were laughing at how old we sound, but they did have some cool stuff in there. But they did, check this out, they were passing out samples of caviar.
Whoa.
So had a little caviar this morning.
From where?
It was North American caviar from Costco.
Is it Kirkland brand?
No, it wasn't. It was some. They had it in a nice case. It was like $1,500 for a box or whatever. But they weren't giving out the biggest scoops, and they were throwing a little creme fraiche on there or whatever. But
just in the spoon where they put on the cracker.
It was like a little cracker with some creme fraiche and some caviar on it, and a little single serve, like almost like a cupcake little. You know, thing, and they hand it out there.
Some places crackers still exist. Let's just talk restaurant news.
Can we talk restaurant news? The Cracker Barrel rebrand? Is that what you're leaning? Yeah. You know what? I don't know if we've ever talked about this. I did work at Cracker Barrel
for a very
brief period of time when I was young. My employment there did not end well, and we won't go into all of that. But I did work there for a little bit, and they do have some good breakfast. And I actually did have fun. I was a line cook there, and it was actually it was a fun kind of cooking job because you had so many different things to do. You know what I mean? You had like your flat grill over here, and then you had your scoop station and your ovens and the fry station, and their menu's so big.
Oh yeah.
So I'm not a big Cracker Barrel. I don't attend there a lot. I'm not an enthusiast to go eat there a lot, but I am familiar with the brand, and they did have a very generic rebrand of their logo.
It's funny. I feel like Cracker Barrel's was like the one that whenever we'd be on family vacations with mom or out driving, like I felt like they couldn't pass a Cracker Barrel without us.
Sit on the front porch and
sit in there, get some grits, get in a rocking chair, and gravy, and other stuff.
The breakfast is good.
The breakfast is solid. And then if anybody's ever been to them, they have the huge like memorabilia in the front room.
The store full of junk. And if you got a kid, you're going to end up buying something. I can tell you that from experience.
And it's funny because I just had to remark because there was this huge what I thought was hugely funny comment. So they rebranded, and if you look at the original logo, there's a gentleman sitting in a rocking chair next to a barrel, you know, Cracker Barrel, and then it says Cracker Barrel next to it. Somebody, the new version of it is just the words Cracker Barrel, and somebody remarked, how can you get rid of the cracker and the barrel?
I was here when you saw that for the first time, and it was a spit take. Like, you literally almost spewed your beverage all over your computer as you audibly gasped and cackled.
It was like one of those things. I was like, that literally, they just tapped in my brain. I was like, that would have been me if I saw that. But yeah, it was just funny.
So it's funny.
But it's pretty crazy.
I did see that because they did make a iconic logo in American culture, like the most generic logo possible. So I don't know what the thought process was behind it, but I will say this. I haven't heard people talking about a Cracker Barrel more than I have in like the last 24 hours or so. So maybe it worked
that.
A little bit.
Yeah, I guess there's that. But yeah, it looks so generically like bland. I think what the other one, it just maybe it was nostalgic. It reminded me maybe they want to get rid of nostalgia.
They're trying to modernize the brand a little bit. But that's a brand you don't really want to modernize, right? Yeah. You want to kind of lean into what it is.
Yeah, because then like if we're going to modernize, what are you going to do with that front room? They're just going to get rid of all that stuff. Because it looks like an antique thrift store or something.
It is.
Regardless. But I'm glad that the Costco is here. I will make my way over there. And like you said, it's probably 20 minutes from here.
Dude, it was fun. Maybe
not that far from here.
Oh, from here?
Minutes.
No, it's like 5 minutes. It's closer than the
Apex. You
said
Buffalo and what?
215. It's literally right here. It's even on this side of the 215. You don't even have to cross over to the north side.
It's closer than the Apex.
It's closer than the Apex. I know, which
that's
is crazy.
Close.
Driving to the Apex from your house is insane, man. You've got a primary position. But you know what?
I love it.
It is funny. My wife said, because we were going in there, it was almost impossible to find a place to park to go in.
Yeah.
And it's just absolutely packed. And it literally just opened today, like a matter of hours ago. And she's like, isn't the economy supposed to be bad right now? Like, look at all this. I'm like, well, it is weird. You know what I mean? Like, the economy's not bad. I think people are a little scared overall. I mean, we hear, like, you know, Las Vegas tourism backing off. You know, things are a little. Yeah. But, man, people are out spending money. That's
who are these
sure.
people? Are they women? They're sitting at home? Don't they work?
There's a lot of people that did. In fact, you know what's funny is my wife said, I think that's one of the teachers from Eli's school or whatever. I don't know if they ducked out for the day or it was their off period or what was going on. But, yeah, I guess on a Thursday, it's a lot of people that could be folks like myself that work at home when they're not on the road. But, yeah, there were a lot of people that either had the day off or just played hooky to go to a Costco.
Just to go to the Costco. Kind of like when the Canes and everything new opens up, everybody just loses their mind. But Costco's in general, they're very, very busy. But I can see where the new one where, you know, like you said, everybody that doesn't have to travel across town. Because there were, what, like three before?
Yeah, but just none of them in the
and
southwest
area. None of them
in
great areas, yeah. It was always like a drive.
We live over in the southwest part of town, which for a long time was kind of on the outskirts and now is developing very quickly.
They moved all the old zombies and the timber weeds
pushed them
away.
All right, man. So anyway, some of us were just dicking around this morning. Others were actually working, and that would be you, Cole Coffey. You went to the Vista Athletic Commission meeting. I was listening in on the phone. Not a lot happened as we, you know, kind of expected. It was one of those ones that, as we've seen many times, if you've never watched or listened in or seen the videos, a lot of the stuff gets done behind the scenes. It's not as if you show up and Sean Strickland's got to talk about, well, what happened? Well, what reason? Or, you know, whatever. It's just they get the agreements done, and then basically this is an opportunity to just ratify the agreement.
Yeah.
And the agreement was $5,000 fine, a six-month suspension, which is retroactive to the day of the offense. It would allow him to be off suspension December 29th. Can be reduced to 4 months if he takes an anger management class. Interesting. I thought the prosecutor kind of giggled a little bit when he said that he could take an anger management class. I don't know. I detected a small laugh in
it's
his
quite
voice
possible.
There. Maybe I was reading into that. Again, I was listening in on the phone, but it sounded like I was hearing a little bit of a smile or a laugh in his voice. He was like, if he takes anger management, which for a month and a half, I guess the only reason you do that is if the UFC wanted you to be on that end of year card. And that might have been, and honestly,
that's
that might have been what they said. It's like, hey, listen, there's a possibility we might get a fight in December. Is there any way at all that we can, you know, be a part of that? And they say, well, if you take some anger management classes, you can. But maybe it was just me that chuckled thinking about Sean Strickland in an anger management class.
He actually might have. I mean, like, honestly, those guys, I mean, they all joke and laugh. And sometimes it's the first time they've seen each other in a while. And you can, because you kind of get to see a little bit of that before the meeting starts, them sort of bantering around. And this prosecutor, he's a younger guy. Right. I mean, you know, so it's quite possible he might have chuckled a little bit, you know. But
not,
I don't
want to make
he,
it clear, not disrespect.
Yeah, I don't think,
I just think
he
we
meant
all
to,
laugh a little bit. You know, what I mean? Like think, the thought of Sean Strickland being in an anger management class is pretty funny.
Yeah, and even the thought of like they could have tried the route of a PSA, and I'm like, then I think everybody would have lost it probably.
That's
so,
what. To be honest with you, I thought that's what they're going to say when they were like. Can be reduced to 4.5 miles. I was like, here we go with the PSA again.
Here we go. But yeah, no, I mean, I think it makes more sense. And there's probably a better chance of this actually happening as opposed, you know. And they made it easy, you know, because at first they were talking about they wanted the options of the anger management courses to be agreed upon by the commission and then have the executive director be able to follow up with it and make sure that it's done. And the commission was like, can we just do something right now that if – Jeff finds an anger management course that they agree upon that he could just handle it, and then boom, let's down. And they're like, okay, yes, let's do that. So they did that. So it was good, but no, it was interesting.
I thought the one part that was valuable that and they took the time to say it was when after they approved it and ratified it, they did take a moment to say that they wanted to thank Sean Strickland for making the process easy. For apologizing for the behavior, for owning it, and assisting them in process like making. I just think that's such an important thing. I think we've been watching this commission for years and seen it for years, and I think people sometimes don't realize, man, if you've got to go for them because you've got a disciplinary hearing, whether it be a drug related hearing, whether it be a you know this situation, man, the more you can do to just own up to what happened, to make their job as easy as possible, to don't make it seem like you're trying to hide things and making them go after it, and et cetera, et cetera. They tend to be more lenient.
Yeah, and that was all done behind the scenes.
Yeah.
You know, I've been at both the meetings since his name was on it, and he's not been present. So, I mean, this doesn't mean, you know, come, you know, get down on your knees at a commission hearing in front of everybody in the public and do whatever. You know, just reach out to the people and do your thing. So, yeah, I
mean. Respond to any paperwork they send.
Respond to the paperwork, you know, do all the, you know, dot your T's and your I's. And I thought it was interesting. But, I mean, also, too, I felt like sometimes, you know, when you feel like they – go out of their way to give reductions that they have to sort of like justify it.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when they just don't, I think people then just think that it's favoritism. So I thought if anything as well, him doing that kind of was clarifying the fact that this is what this is, you know, and if anything else, it could show to the people like, just letting you know, he was very forthcoming, blah, blah, blah. He got, and then you put the, you know, picture together. He got his thing. He had the potential to get 2 months knocked off of his thing, you know. So that's, you know, pretty hefty reduction. If it's 6 months and you're knocking off 2 months, I mean, to knock
30. Yeah, a month and a half. So it's 25% of it off, basically. So
I mean, so.
We'll see what they do. I mean, again, I don't think he would take the anger management classes unless the UFC was like, hey, we got something for you in December in Vegas. If you can get cleared, we got a big fight for you, which there's a lot going on in the middleweight division right now, which we'll certainly talk about in a minute. So it's possible that they could. You know, I don't know if they got anything specifically for him. I guess you'll have to see how all the timing works out. Probably wouldn't be a bad idea if I don't know, but if is it like an online class or you got to do something?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I'm sure it could be. You know, if he comes up with the circumstances that he can't make it to whatever and Jeff's like, okay, this is a reputable thing. You know, it's not like you're just going to – you know, Cold Coffee's anger management, you know, webinar, you know, but if you're going to a legit thing, I can see where they're like, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
It seems like, because if
they might even be able to say, dude, I'm a public figure, I'm whatever, I don't want to be a distraction to the class, allow me to take this at home.
That's a good call, because that's what I was going to say. If it's a situation where like, hey, you got to go to this place once a week for an 8 week, you know what I mean? Like an hour a week for 8 weeks, like he's not going to go do that. Yeah. But if it's like, hey, I can sit down and in 2 hours, you know, I can maybe knock out this webinar or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, then might as well, right? Just to give yourself some flexibility and to know that you can, because there is a lot going on at middleweight right now. So that was the Sean Strickland, the same incident. Chris Curtis, not a lot of discussion in that one either. They said, you know, they fined him $2,500 plus the legal fees, no suspension, which, of course, wouldn't make sense to suspend him considering that he already fought. The incident.
But that's what we were kind of wondering, if they were going to say anything about it, and they just kind of were like,
they didn't even explain a damn thing. That one I thought was funny because we were like, how are they going to justify this? You know how they justify it? They don't.
Just don't talk about it.
They don't have to. Just, you know. Just for the same incident, here you go. And again, that's probably fair because, again, I think we both were on the same page with this, right? Like, let's not pretend this was the greatest crime to ever happen in the sport of mixed martial arts, but you got to do something because you can't let people think that it's okay to charge in. You know what I mean?
Because when you heard them talk about it, even when you didn't really, even when you heard like the sort of the process of being read by the prosecutor of what was done, it didn't certainly sound like a lot of difference. Even though you could hear in Strickland, I think they said that he struck him in the head.
Right.
But you still heard him say that he made contact with the fighter, did whatever. So I was like, in my head, I was like, there's not big difference outside of just, you know, he they did punches. Make sure
That's
that point. You
Curtis
know?
Didn't throw punches.
You know.
Sean did.
So, I don't know. But I felt like, you know, that was the one I was paying attention to. I was like, how are they going to justify the fact that he's already, you know.
And they did. And they, the way they did it was not even talk about
and
it.
And it was really quickly. But I, what is it, $157.04 or something? Or is it $157.01?
For the legal fees?
For the legal fees.
The fact that
so
they
dumb.
Include cents in there
I know,
always
so
trips me out.
Ridiculous. I felt so bad for the prosecutor because he had to read like seven things. And by the time you got to Strickland, he was number six. You could tell the guy was like, you know, I'm so-and-so, you know, for the prosecutor thing on behalf of the executive director.
Yeah,
and then
they have
he
to
read
it.
I was
all
like,
out.
I'm sorry, buddy.
it was funny.
I was like, but you kept your energy. Because even at the end of it, the guys, the commission were sort of teasing him how they're like, we should use you for a voice promo or something or other. I forget what they what product they were suggesting. But I was like, I thought it was pretty funny how they were just sort of teasing because the dude spent most of the hearing reading his opening lines over it and stuff. But
well, if anybody wants to check that out, the world has video coverage because of my man Cole Coffee. I'm just saying, start building the case for Journalist of the Year next year. Didn't make the nomination this year, but the only reason that video footage exists of that hearing is my man Cole Coffee, who took the time to go down there, set up the gear.
Only one there.
Only the
they
one
were in
there.
The big room. They were in the big room thinking that people were going to show up.
Only one there. I'm not gonna name any names, but we did have some people that were asking us for details about
how
these
to
things
get there,
work,
how it works,
what you got to do to attend, and yet they didn't show up. I don't know what happened. You know, schedules change,
stuff
things happen. But I'm just saying,
it's early. It's
when
early
you're
in the morning.
Thinking of Journalists of the Year, you think of what I mean. Video evidence would not exist. You understand that it would not even. It would just be audio only, and if somebody didn't record, I mean.
To think of the traffic that I had to go through.
Oh, my
God. There was traffic on the 15. I was like, did I choose the wrong route? I was going to go because I felt actually left the house a little bit later. So I would normally take my side streets the whole way. Right. But I was like, let me just try the 15. I was like, I know they cleared up that thing. They added the extra on-ramp
Most
or whatever.
Of the construction's
done. So, boom, I started flying through there. And we're getting on the 15. I was like, this is good. And then just get past, like, the Flamingo and then towards the end. And then slow down.
Yeah.
I was like,
that's the one place
shit.
In Vegas there's always traffic.
Yeah, so.
The Spaghetti Bowl.
Yeah.
Dumbest name ever.
So I thought I was going to, you know, go scot-free, but it was still good. I still got there in time and had plenty of time to set up and then but no, it's cool. I like that since then now they recognize me more. I don't get as much odd like stares like when
like,
I show
what are you
up
in
sometime.
Here for?
Like, yeah, cuz even one of the guys after me came over, he thought I was recording for the commission. He was like, oh, is this for the commission? Blah, blah, blah. I was like, no, it's a media. We're actually here. And he's like, oh, well, so you were here for Strickland and Curtis and blah, 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 blah.
Look at that.
You know, just asking because I think they're not used to people doing it unless it's like something big. So whenever they do, they usually will sort of just inquire. Not that they're trying to say, what are you here doing? No, you can't film. Right. It's just more they're curious, like what brought somebody to actually out to
so
shoot.
So what you're
things.
Saying is that you're groundbreaking with your efforts. I mean, pioneering
That's
type
it.
Stuff. I mean, come on. What are we doing, people? What are we doing, people? I tell you the other one, and I was going to just say, did anything else stick out to you, but you're doing big
things. Oh, the boxing fees.
Right?
I was going to say,
boxing,
just to hear the boxing fees,
so
I actually cut that video for Nolan because Nolan's like, I think I'm going to put something together on the boxing fees.
So here it is.
I couldn't remember if I've ever heard those numbers before.
I've never heard those numbers
before.
Okay,
that's why
I
thought it was strange.
I know that there are more. All right, so what we're talking about, and I'll just read the line item. Selection of officials and setting of fees to work September 13th, 2025 at Allegiant Stadium, Las Vegas for IBF, WBA, WC, and WO World Super Middleweight titles between Saul Canelo Alvarez and Terrence Crawford. So, of course, this is the championship matchup, Canelo versus Crawford, that Dana White is promoting. And they were naming the referee and naming the judges. I'm going to be honest, I didn't even write down the name of the referee they decided on and the judges they decided on. But what stood out to me, and I'm so glad that without even prompting you, it stood out to you too. The referee for that will be paid $25,000,
yep.
And the judges will be paid $20,000. Now, for comparison, typically, I haven't written down in a long time, but just ballparking from memory, a UFC pay-per-view, I believe the referee gets $2,000 for a title fight. Now, that means the whole night. You don't get paid for a fight. That's the whole night. So if you're working other fights, you work that too. But a referee would get $2,000, and I believe judges are around, I think the last time they were around like $1,600 to $1,800. I think maybe $1,600, something like that. So, I mean, we're talking about essentially a tenth of what this would be. And this, to your point, I've never heard one this high. Boxing always pays more than the UFC does, or not the UFC, I should say, than the mixed martial arts officials get. But I thought this was pretty astronomical. I mean, and good on them. I mean, look, there's going to be a broad spotlight on it, a bright spotlight.
You just got to think how much the commission's actually getting as a percentage from this to have that kind of money to put it, because the commission's paying them. So whatever the percentage fee that they're charging the promoter to do this, because it's not like they just want to come out of pocket. And pay 50 or was it how many judges? Three judges. So 60.
$60,000.
$80,000 just for your ref and your three judges. They're not going to come out of pocket that just because they're like, hey, because this is a good, this is a big event, you know. It's going to have people watching. They're literally, I mean, just the money for this event to happen, I'm sure they're just creaming over there. They're just loving it. And it's funny because one of the things I noted, that I took a picture earlier, you know, because the consent agenda, you know, they just sort of blanket and they accept it. One of the things on there, should he pass his clearance, is Terrence Crawford applying for his license. You know, so
that's always
funny. I assume that he was probably going to have a pretty good chance of being.
He got his license. You know,
but it's just kind of funny, like when you and they have the list down the license below of like the different other fighters that you see that are the unarmed combatants and the seconds, and so that people just are current. But I usually filter through those and look for any name that's sort of standing out that you haven't seen. But a lot of the names I've been looking through, I haven't seen Connor's name on there.
No.
But to give you guys an idea, so if I'm just looking down this unarmed combatant thing on here, even in the first column, so you see like Julius Dolarenko, Eric McConico, who just fought, Joseph Morales, mm-hmm. and the next one, Tatsuro Taira, Julius Walker. I mean, like... So as a point of thing that every once in a while these fighters have to get their license approved again just to be able to keep fighting. And as long as they're not really old, there's usually not an issue. They usually just, as long as they're in compliance, we see like what we saw happen here. It's where, hey guys, I've looked through the consent agenda. Anything stand out? No. Okay, cool. Boom. And you're good to go. When you think like of a fighter's probably, if they're ever stressed about, I wonder if my license is going to get renewed. Are we good? Like, bro, more than likely it's going to be just like this. You are approved with, you know, no discussion at all. As long as you're, you know, if you've been active.
Yeah.
You know.
The only time they really give you any extra attention is if you're over 30. I believe it's over the age of 35, right?
38.
Is it 38?
Well, at least this boxing one, the line item above says 38, but I couldn't remember if it was 38. I don't know, boxing separate from – no, because there's an MMA guy underneath it, Cole Jordan. So it must be 38.
Yeah, it's over the age of 38. You have to, at that point, you have to submit to extra
comprehensive
testing.
No pro fight in the last 36 months and over 425 pro rounds. Those are the three tick boxes in this box. Another thing, over 425 pro rounds. Depending on what sport, that is a lot of fights.
A lot of rounds.
That's a lot of fights.
By the way, one name did stand out there. Jimmy Drago, who fought for CFFC, made his way to Dana White's Contender Series. Came up short there, but he's a hell of a fighter. But his full legal name is James Dean Drago. Yeah, bro.
But
James
Dean. You see who's right under him?
Bradley De Silva?
Yeah. The guy that fought on the Contender Series but didn't get the contract.
Yep. You know, Bisinger Sirsakaf is in there.
So,
as
I mean,
well,
that's. And we always say a lot of times, I mean, like, so, you know, certainly he can't be having his name for an event that's already happening unless they're already in consideration of trying to use him for something forward. It'd be really weird if he's already fought and he hasn't been approved. But
You can't. You have to be approved.
It has to be approved. But this, maybe they have a blanket sort of like whatever. Maybe that's what some of the like those weird line items that you get to, you see sometime where the commission says, I forget what the phrase is, where they just agree to like these promoter waivers or something. I forget what the phrasing is. Not that I wouldn't think that should cover over something like that. It seems more like if that was just like an event change where they don't have to contact them about something little, but. So this, here's a guy that didn't get the Contender Series, but more than likely, I thought he put on a decent performance, you know, relative. It wasn't enough to get the what he got that night, but he's more than likely just going to be on another fight card, and he's going to be good to go because he's registered and he's licensed and he's good to go. So it's kind of neat. I mean, it's purely like if you're diehard, like nobody else really cares about this stuff, but it is interesting. Yeah, and this is on the agenda. If you go to the Nevada website and when you go and you look at the calendar for the commission hearings, they when it gets really, really close to it, whether it be a week or a few days out, they will attach the agenda and you could see stuff like this that you don't normally ever get to see. And they don't bring it up unless you're in the room. When you're in the room, they have a printout or if you see it online. But if somebody was really a diehard and say, man, I wonder who was licensed. When was the last time so-and-so was licensed? You could literally go in there and say, okay, well, you know, Tatsuro got his license was renewed on blah, 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 you know, August 21st, 2025.
I'm telling you, it's all the little things behind the scenes that people don't think about. I'm obviously seeing a lot of it now. We just had a call last night going through all of our medicals for our next event with CFFC in Atlantic City, getting status updates on where each of our athletes are and what has to be done and that sort of thing. So it's fun to see that side of sport. Obviously, for years, we just kind of covered the big stories out front. Things like Reiner de Ritter and Fluffy Hernandez getting booked to fight each other instead of having to pick one or the other as to who was going to get the first middleweight title fight. So, man, I wanted to ask Dana on Tuesday night. I guess Dana White's Contender Series, much better showing this weekend. We had a much more exciting night, five contracts.
Oh, yeah.
But Dana was not available because assuming he was just in a quick move to get out to Shanghai to take off. Obviously, he had a lot of travel ahead. So he did not speak to the media on Tuesday night. But I guess I would assume with that being announced, and he literally announced that thing, what, like right before we went on air with Contender Series, I guess you would assume that that means, I mean, well, what do you think? Do you think it means that Hamzat Chimaev is not fighting in October in Abu Dhabi? Because, I mean, that's an awfully fast turnaround. I mean,
that would be a really quick turnaround.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't think so, but, I mean, to be honest, I mean, it wasn't like he took a lot of damage.
No, he didn't. I'm not worried about him so much. Well, yeah, I don't think he took a lot of damage. And I would think, because we said it, right? You'd think they'd want him to fight in Abu Dhabi, right?
Abu Dhabi would want him and nobody else.
100%.
Like, they are very, very picky. It was, what we've seen over the years, they will be mad. They push back on cards.
Oh, yeah, because they're financial partners, right?
They're like, no.
We're paying for this. We want – in fact, you remember –
because there was that very first – one of the very first cards that they tried doing after, and I can't remember what it was, but the card got, like, rejected.
That was Saudi Arabia, actually.
Was that Saudi?
That was Saudi Arabia. Same thing, though. They're partners as well. Yeah. They're paying for an event. It's interesting because I remember that press release said that all their pay-per-views would get two title fights. But I guess maybe that's just kind of a if we can make it happen kind of thing. Remember? Because I remember that language stood out to me because they never put that in there. It was like a minimum of two title fights. But maybe they're saying, look, man, we're giving you Aspinall versus Gon, the heavyweight title. Like, that's the heavyweight belt. It's big enough. But the reason I say this, so the event's October 25th, and you're 100% right. Hamzat Chimaev, I certainly believe, could compete on October 25th. But this fight is going to be this one's taking place October 18th. So certainly, unless you're expecting a Bisinger, Sosa Chaos type turnaround and fly to Abu Dhabi, that's not going to happen. I guess it could open it up maybe for Imavov and Bohio on September 6th. But even that's, what, a six-week turnaround? So, I mean, I guess with RDR and Fluffy being announced for October 18th, that rules them out for sure of the following week. Maybe you just sit and say, what else? Because you can't go. There's nobody else right now you could do. I mean, those are the four guys that you could give a title shot to right now, right?
If you're going by rankings and stuff.
Yeah, you could give it to anybody. And you could say Sean Strickland, right? He's suspended, though. He can't compete. We know that for sure. Look, you could say Israel Adesanya. Obviously, he's coming off multiple losses in a row, so he makes no sense. But the UFC can do whatever they want. I don't think stylistically he would really be appreciative of that fight anyway.
No.
I mean, boy.
He would get worked.
Oh, my God. You can't go. I mean, I'm looking at Brendan Allen and Michael Venom Page and thinking, could you go either one of them? I mean, the 9-10, how do you – you just can't, right? So
it's tough to justify it, but I mean – but you know how the UFC is. I mean, if they have enough time to spin some sort of line, they can. But, yeah, I mean, I would think that they want Hamzat there above all else. But Who knows? I mean, what else? I mean, it's interesting.
I just thought for sure they'd find a way to have him on that card. And yeah, with the scheduling the way it is, I don't know if you can. I guess you just look to Paris and you say, hopefully somebody gets out of there clean.
Yeah.
All right. You know, I did want to add one thing. I want to set the record straight in this. Just John Jones thing. Remember when he came out and replied? Did you see that tweet where he put at the bottom of it, clean up grammar? And everybody thought he was...
Fixed grammar?
Yeah, fixed grammar. Mm-hmm. Everybody thought he was sending it to... ChatGPT. I think he was sending it to some. I think that goes to show he's got somebody handling the social media posting for him, right?
Yeah.
I think they were saying, hey.
Because I think if anybody knows, I mean, because, yeah, if he sent that to ChatGPT, then he would copy the response and send the response. Like, that's not, that would be like him copying the prompt and then ending with the fix the whatever. You know, like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, it, but if that was what he put together, it feels. I mean, it could have went to ChatGPT first to put the first portion. But if he's asking fix a grammar, you know, he might. I mean, granted, you have to still kind of go through what ChatGPT does and change some things, anyways. Or they're like giveaways that it's been done through ChatGPT. But more than likely, I feel like that was him rambling. Then he was just sending it to his spokesperson or whoever that handles something.
It's a silly thing, but if you're going to make fun of somebody for making a mistake, I think you should make sure you have the mistake
properly.
And
it was
probably
a new person, too. And that's why they didn't think about double-checking that fax thing, fix the grammar.
That was pretty funny, though. All right, UFC Fight Night in Shanghai this week. A little bit of a rough start. We talk about enjoying the early fights. This is a little too early. If you're over in Europe, though, man, this has got to be like in your wheelhouse right here, right? I mean, this is what we like in the 9 a.m.
This one's going to be rough.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to try to watch. It just means I'm going to pass out right after it and then be like a vampire and sleep during the day for a little bit.
I haven't figured out what my approach is yet. Because it starts at midnight.
I know.
So what do you do? You can't stay up. You can't stay up till 6 a.m., do you?
Yeah.
Yeah?
And then just crash out.
And then crash out for the day?
But that's the thing, because then I already know that it just means I'll probably end up getting three or four hours sleep, get up at like 10 or so, and then get your day, because I don't want to waste the day. But I find myself having a hard time trying to set an alarm, wake up at 3, knowing I've already missed some fights, because I'm going to feel like I'm missing out on whatever, because the likelihood of me going back and rewatching it is I'd rather just torture myself and stay up as opposed to find the motivation to go back and rewatch it. That's just the way I am. I would more than likely, I don't know.
And if
I didn't wake up, I'd be super pissed, because then I'd have to go back and then I'd probably just watch the highlights or something and do whatever. But
for us in Vegas, it's going to be a midnight start time for the prelims and a 3 a.m. start time for the main card. And I definitely want to see Kyle Daukaus made his way back in to the UFC, came back to CFFC, rattled off 4 straight wins, was willing to fight anybody on the way, literally just said, I don't care who the opponent is, just get me opponents, keep me busy. I want to keep winning fights and make my way back. I'm excited for that. He's got an interesting matchup, man. We talked about it a little bit, but Michelle Pajeda, we talked about when it got announced. I was actually maybe a little bit surprised to see Michelle Pajeda as a minus 265 favorite, so significant favorite. But Michelle's tough, man. He's a very, very tough fighter for sure. And when he's on, he's very, very
when
difficult
he's on.
To deal with. Yeah, it's just consistency.
Yeah, I'm at the point where I'm done picking him. Last couple of times, he's just looked terrible. And I feel like I was so many times just trying to wait for that vintage, you know, exciting moment. And I feel like now his walkouts are more exciting than his fights. That anticipation, that like character that he's portraying when he walks out there. And then when the fights start, it just, he goes flat. And I don't know if that's because he's burning himself out. He has an adrenaline dump once he gets in there or something, but
It's one of those balances, I think, too, right? Of like everybody was like, hey, man, like calm down a little bit. But then like sometimes that's who you are, too, right? Like that's what makes you effective is what you are. You know, he had that amazing win streak where he was just rattling off first round submissions and TKOs in a row. And then he's had a couple of setback losses and been a little bit flat late. Although, you know, one of those losses looks pretty good right now to Anthony Hernandez. That dude just keeps getting better and better. And then Alex Magomedov, another one that I think is kind of tough to gauge sometimes, has like some inconsistent performances. So tough one. I was just a little surprised to see him be that big of a favorite. I knew Daukaus would be the underdog, but I was a little bit surprised to see him that much. So that's definitely want to check
Dawkins
that out.
Dawkins is going to get my underdog money right there.
Dude, I'm throwing down the all CFFC parlay.
Are you?
Because you got Aljamain Sterling up there at the top, too.
Oh.
He's a sizable favorite against Brian Ortega. Boy. I was a little bit surprised to see that
I was
too, to be honest.
I was, too, because, you know, honestly, there was a part of me I was like, oh, man, Ortega, when Ortega was, like, just destroying dudes and, like, at the top of his game, I was leaning him. But then I was like, man, he just hasn't quite been the same. And then I looked and I checked the odds and I was like, okay, maybe my thinking that Aljamain maybe has a good chance, maybe others are leaning the same way. But I end up, at the end of the day, I went with Aljo. Him training with, you know, Rob and all those cats and just out, his whole connection with all those guys, I think he's really good at not being able to get taken down. And I think if he stays standing and the way he moves, I think he has a better chance to do some damage standing than with Brian, because I think Brian, if he gets him to the ground, then maybe it's a different game. But Aljo's no slouch on the ground either.
Oh,
so
he's a phenomenal grappler.
Yeah. So
I mean, I'm going to homer for Aljamain regardless. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anytime it comes, you know, CFFC Hall of Famer, of course, I'm going to homer for him. But I'll be honest with you, in looking at this, when the fight was announced, I really thought more of like a pick'em almost. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And because you're right, Ortega, I mean,
it's not a big odd difference, is it?
It's fairly substantial.
What is it now?
Aljamain Sterling minus 275.
Oh,
Brian Ortega plus 225. So,
oh, it's gotten bigger than the last
yeah,
time I saw.
That's, you know,
big.
Ortega two. You know, you look at the record, right? And you're like, man, 2-4 in his last six. Like, that's not good, right? But you look at the names.
Yeah.
You know, Diego Lopez, Yair Rodriguez, Alexander Volkanovski, Chan Sung Jung, Max Holloway. I mean, the elite of the elite of the elite. And,
yeah.
You know, he has had some inconsistencies, and I think he's, you know, obviously, you know, some injury issues and some, you know, hasn't stayed incredibly busy. I mean, that stretch, if you can believe it, dates all the way back to 2018. I mean, the guy just doesn't fight very much. I see every time the rankings come out in the featherweight rankings, I see the fan base just go crazy. They're like, get this dude out of the rankings. Like, what's he still doing here?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. But I still feel like he's dangerous. Like, and Aljamain is as well. I mean, Aljamain, I think,
yeah,
is one of the most underrated guys in the division always. I think people just choose to hate on him for whatever reason. But I was a little bit surprised to see the line up there.
Yeah. No, I am as well. It's crazy because I think the last I saw, I thought Aljo was a slight favorite. I thought it was like still maybe like 215 or 2-something. But I thought Brian wasn't that big on the comeback. But wow.
Yeah. Big difference in the main event,
yeah,
as well. Jaemin Yang and Johnny Walker. I'll be honest with you, I'm pretty high on Jaemin Yang, man.
Yeah.
This kid looks like you know, kind of the, I don't say the future of the division, but certainly an emerging force in it, to be sure. The guy looks like he's going to be around. I mean, he's 27 years old. He's got a ton of experience. He's on an incredible win streak. He's, I mean, just the power, the striking, the damage. You know, I don't know if I'm ready to say this guy is a future champion for sure, but he's going to be a force in the division for a while, I would definitely say. And Johnny Walker, love Johnny Walker, but again, inconsistency, results,
yep,
that sort of thing.
Yep,
so
that's it.
You know, it would not surprise me if Johnny Walker does something crazy, like, because he's capable of it.
Yep.
But to me, I feel like Jaemin Yang looks like he's the guy right now. He just happens,
yeah,
to be the guy that's in form.
Yep, I agree. I mean, Walker, I mean, like, I can't. I mean, people love the dude. I mean, he's funny. I mean, it helps that he, you know, he can get on the mic, and he does a good job on the mic. And then when he won, everybody loved the fact that he used to do all his little celebrations,
yep,
and he was just quirky, and he tried to just be this personality. And, you know, that's kind of settled down, you know, over the time as some losses went on. He's got more serious, but, you know, he always comes in there looking like he's ready. He plays the part well, but, yeah, he's just inconsistent. And, you know, he might not be the best of the walkers right now that's fighting. You know, his brother might be the better walker that's actually fighting. He's kind of coming his own, and boy, and all those little heel hooks.
That's
and
crazy.
Stuff that he has going
that's
on
crazy.
Is just fucking gnarly. But Johnny, I mean, like, he's got a chance. Everybody's got a chance, and it's funny. In my head, I had it switched. You know, I thought he was the shorter of the two guys in this, and according to Tapology, he is the taller gentleman.
Oh, yeah.
By 4 inches.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, but I thought Jang was actually tall. I mean, he's 6'2". I mean, he's tall, but for some reason I thought he was taller than that, but it says Johnny's 6'6", man. I don't...
Massive.
But yeah, I mean, that's a huge difference. But I mean, that definitely can weigh in Johnny's favor as well. He's got the reach. He's got the size difference. But man, you know, Ming Yang got power. Johnny's just, you know.
And Johnny gets
just
clipped,
depends on when he, yeah,
he gets clipped.
His chin's not the same. And it's just, you know, yeah, he's just not the same.
Agreed. I think
I still like the guy.
Oh,
I think
of course,
he's,
man.
He's funny, dude.
Well, that's why I say, like, yeah, it's not out of the realm of possibility to think that he does something crazy, yeah, and just catches Ming Yang. It could.
Yeah.
But I would say Zhang's the pick here.
And for the region, I think it would be good for the region to get a win and just have some, you know, stars that are coming up over there to keep them engaged in the sport and keep. Because, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that keeps building up and getting more fighters. You know, once they start seeing fighters do well in the sport and they feel that they're getting representation, and then more cats will put their, you know, they set their eyes on this, you know, and then yep, we start coming in, you know, and seeing more guys. And, in fact, this is one of the newer guys that's came into that as well. So with that whole road to the UFC and everything that's going on, I mean, like, they're really putting time and effort into that region and hoping that we're going to get more stars.
And the Performance Institute over there, man. I mean, and that's – that's one thing. Look, we're seeing it with the USCPI Mexico, right? We saw a big winner last week, and we're seeing more. Like, that's what I think people might not realize about what those PIs do over there. Like, the PI here is just kind of a center where everybody can come train. They can have access to rehab.
People talk about, oh, I can go and get food, and I can get rehab, and I can do whatever. But there's gyms around. There's places where they can go. So it's not the end-all, be-all.
Right.
People have places for inspiration. This is what these are over there.
This is an actual training center. They are coaching you, and they are developing you, and they're developing talent, and they're identifying talent. You know, they've like put athletes from other sports through a combine, basically, and use the numbers that they register in the combine against the numbers that they've collected from the data in the UFC, and seeing, like, you know, because of your power here, because of your speed here, we believe you have everything it would take. I mean, it's science. You know what I mean? It's science of,
that's
like,
cool.
Finding, it's really pretty cool, man. I mean, I know people want to trash the UFC at every opportunity that they get, but, you know, you talk about, and this is like, it gets to be a very complicated discussion, but, like, when people talk about, like, the percentage of revenue that goes to the fighters, and I'm not saying that it shouldn't be higher or couldn't be higher or should go up. Obviously, that's a big discussion with the $7 billion deal that they signed. These are all ongoing discussions you need to have. But I think sometimes people forget about these things, you know, when they have these discussions. It's like, you know, they only pay 16% of revenue to the fighters, and then they act as if 84% goes into Dana White's pocket. You know what I mean? It's like, at least the UFC, and I know it's never popular to defend the UFC. It's only popular to bash on them.
Yeah,
but they are really reinvesting into the sport and helping, you know, grow it around the globe. And these PIs, like, it's not cheap to operate these things. You know, granted, not billions.
Yeah,
so there's still going to be money on the table. But these are things to think about when you have those discussions. And again, I'm not saying the UFC has done a fantastic job. They have given every ounce of revenue available that they can. No. But these are things to discuss.
Yep, 100%. 100%.
So,
and at the end of the day, you know, like, who is it? Somebody that – I forget, somebody that was not defending it the other day, and they're like, it's fine that you want to argue and complain about it, but at the end of the day, if the fighters aren't arguing and complaining about it, then, like, what's your point?
Well, I'll be honest with you there, too, man, and obviously I'm not really much into the media game anymore, but I got to a point where I felt the same way. I've seen, like, Luke Thomas openly express it, where it's like, you know, we saw over the 20 years or so that I was doing it, multiple attempts at these guys banding together, and it just never never panned out. And I don't know that it ever will. I don't know that you can ever get everybody on the same page and to get together and collectively bargain for stuff. So it does get to a point where you're like, if they're not griping about it, why are you griping about it? You know?
Like, and if we gripe about it, I'm not going to make it my only thing I ever think about.
Right.
And talk about. And some people, it seems like that's the only thing they focus on. Why didn't you ask about the money again? Like, didn't you just say that, like, yesterday when you texted me? And then, like, last week, why didn't you ask about that? I'm like, bro, do you ever think about anything else? Like, you know, I'm like.
It will be interesting what the UFC does. I mean, you know, obviously Dana addressed, hey, the bonuses are definitely going to go up. You would assume that fighter pay is going to go up. I have talked to a number of managers that actually are pretty happy about the new structure, because now there's no longer – you know, how did the pay-per-view perform? Because a lot of that has to do with you as a fighter, but not everything about it. You know what I mean? What about if you happen to get booked for a pay-per-view that was on a different day, or maybe the supporting card, you know, the other four fights on it weren't great, and you were the only, you know, there's a lot of variables and factors. Ultimately, if you're the star and you're the one that has pay-per-view points, you should take it upon yourself to promote the fight. But bottom line is now you take that out of the equations and you could just get higher guaranteed money, which is kind of funny because that for years and years, I mean, that goes back to Randy Couture years ago, just arguing about, just tell me what I'm going to make. Don't make me get, wait to the back end and have to audit and be that. Just tell me exactly what I'm going to make for the fight, and that's what I want. And that's kind of where we are now with pay-per-view gone and the Paramount. So I've actually talked to a number of managers that say, look, man, this is actually probably a good thing for us because now we can just talk a number, guarantee that number, and that's it.
Well, and then there's in the past, too, where people have said, like, oh, I want to get rid of the show win bonus, the show win structure. Some fighters already have it that way. You know, so take that upon yourself the next time you do your contract. Yep. What do I need to do that? You know, it's just take steps. But collectively, it's not like you can't sit around and wait for it just to happen on its own. Like, hey, the UFC is going to come back and they're going to give me a pay bump and that's going to be it. I won't worry about my show, whether I win or lose. I'm just going to get this X amount of money. You know, like some people actually do that. They get a bigger on the front end. Yep. And they don't get that, maybe not the double what it would typically be, but you're getting more on the front end. And if you're fine with that, then it's cool. But it's going to be you working that for your next contract and stuff. Nobody is going out there and you know, proactively looking at people's contracts and saying, hey, I see you did 30-30. How about we, you know, let's work out, you know, 50. You know, you want to just do 50 show or just a 50, you know, pay or whatever? And you could say, no, but let's just do 60 here or whatever, instead of like changing me to 70 or whatever. You know,
100%. Like, no, it's all negotiation.
But it's going to be in the negotiation.
You got to go ask for it. You got to ask for it, man. Yeah. You got to ask for it.
Nobody's going to do it. If you guys all can't get together and change it, it's going to be one of you doing it on your own. So just do it on your own, you know.
It is interesting though, right? Because, and again, this goes back to mindset. Because what if it's like, you know, hey, you know, we'll pay you 30 and 30, so 30,000 to show, 30,000 to win, or we'll give you 50 flat because that potentially could save them $10,000 if you're victorious. But I bet most fighters would turn that down and say, I don't want the 50 flat. I want the potential to make 60 by making 30 and 30.
That's crazy.
You know what I mean? That's just the mindset, which in reality, man, if the guaranteed money might be better, where at least you know for sure that you're not getting it. I would, and I've heard people say this over the years, and look, this is probably time. For the longest time, you knew nothing was going to change because this is the way it is. But now, you know, this is an opportunity. This right now, especially with the entire financial structure of the UFC changing, if ever there was a time to try something different, this would be it. I really do like the idea that we've seen over the years of a finish bonus. Like, that's what we're – I mean, that's – the idea of a win bonus is just to encourage athletes to push and to drive and to make the result matter to them, right? Because what we want is finishes. What we want is action. I think that could be a very beneficial thing to just say, hey, you know what? Okay, win-loss, we're going away. Here's a flat rate. Plus you get a finish bonus. Or maybe you still do the show and win plus a finish bonus. And maybe you don't have to do 75,000 or even 50,000 now. It's a little bit less, but just everybody that gets a finish gets a little bit extra so that they're pushing to finish the fight at all times. I think that honestly could work for athletes and could work for the organization too.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, and again, it's just a couple dudes pontificating about the changes and stuff like that. I mean, like, I feel like so many things could be done, but I mean, I think, and it's funny, you know, just like, you know, Luke and everybody said, I feel like we've had these conversations about what could change, what could happen the whole entire time we've 100%. Been covering this sport. 100%. You know, and we've seen 3-4 different types of, like, union attempts or whatever. And while this Paramount thing, I mean, it'd be interesting to see. I think if Dana and them are willing to say that there will be an increase, I guess if anything, that's the best positive news you could take it away. And then as for what the fine details, I guess we just have to see when they realize how much extra that they have. You know they're going to take whatever. TKO is going to take their whatever portion like that. And then there's going to be a certain amount that's for the operating budget. And then there'll be the amount that they divvy out to whatever. Dana's never been one. I don't think any of them have ever heard of when we're doing our overall budget, you know, 15% of our overhead cost goes to the fighter pay or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if they're willing to say that it's going to grow and to do whatever, then, you know that they're going to get more money. But it all comes down to that negotiation. Just do your thing and do your work. Nothing's going to come, you know, whether that means have a good manager, whether you means you just have a good lawyer, maybe it's just maybe you have a good conversation. But I don't think there's ever going to be a perfect solution that everybody could follow because everybody's so catered to their one. But I am confident that fighters will get paid more. As for how much, who knows? But also, too, am I going to lose sleep because I don't know that particular number? Nope. But I feel like some people out there lose sleep because they feel like the oppression just continues even more, you know?
I've seen I want to say maybe it's Eric McCracken, who does a great job when it comes to covering the legal side of things, whatever. And I think it was him the other day. And then I saw somebody else like point out, like, you know, I believe that one of the main reasons most American athletes don't look at UFC as an option is because the pay is so low compared to other sports. I don't buy that.
Yeah, I saw that.
I feel like the other day. And again, I have a lot of respect for Eric and the work he does. So I'm not dinging him as a whole. Like I think he does a great job. But I just knowing the athletes of the sport, you know what I mean? It's like this is something you fucking love or you don't. You know what I mean? Like I don't think there's ever been.
That's like saying the guy instead of going into, you know, big guy playing high school football and playing little league, you know, peewee football. At that point, saying, nah, I'm not going to do that sport because I don't know if, you know, there's, you know I can get money in this one, but MMA, I really like it, but no, I'm not going to choose to do this as a kid because there's no money in it.
Yeah.
Most of the people that go into the sports, they go into it, love that sport, and they grew up doing that sport, and that's why they're in the sport. You don't have this giant guy playing NFL because he's like, well, I just – you know, back then I decided that there was no money in MMA, so I followed that. No, these guys grew up loving the sports that they love. And MMA just happens to be not the favorite sport in America, you know, and it won't be maybe ever.
I don't know. It never will.
You know, it's never going to overtake the guys that are playing basketball on the street, the guys that are, you know, throwing football in the park, doing whatever. And then you got baseball, and then you got soccer. And I mean, it's just not going to do it. It's not different about the people that do this, right?
Yeah. Like, you love this stuff, man. You're passionate about it. Like, because fighting is hard, and it's scary, and it's tense, and it's, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I just don't buy into that argument. I agree with you. You know what I mean? If that was the case, and somebody might, why did you play baseball? Well, I was good in every sport, but I was just like, I saw the salaries were bigger over there, so I played baseball. I just, no, you love it, and that's what you're into, and that's what you chase after.
I mean, I could see it where, you know, if he thinks that, you know, body types will take you to a certain thing, it'd be like, you know, gosh, when – I mean, yeah, because even if a guy was – I'd see if a guy was a big, giant guy, and he's never played sports in high school, he never played sports in college, he never played whatever, but he's a big, giant guy. He happened to work on the boats, and he's very strong, and he was like, well, I think I'm going to try out for I hear there's a rugby team in town.
Right.
Or should I go to the gym and try to work out and get some MMA? Well, the rugby pays a little bit better. You know, then I could see him say, okay, well, now I'm making a choice. I'm going to take my big frame.
Right.
And I'm going to go play rugby or whatever. Yeah, yeah. But if, you know, as for thinking like, wow, man, all these five-star prospects that are going to college and playing football and then trying to get in the NFL, to think that they're thinking like, well, I'm only going to go NFL because it's money and not because I really love my MMA. Yeah. Bro, it's
or even like find somebody on any, and if you want to prove me wrong, and this will be interesting, find somebody on any of the major franchise, any major sports, right? Whether it be baseball, basketball, football, whatever. Find me one and show me like their amateur fighting record, and let me hear somebody that was like, well, my true passion was fighting, like my favorite thing to do is fighting.
Yeah.
But I knew I could make more money doing this, so I chose to do this instead. You know what I mean? I don't believe that person exists. I could be wrong.
I mean, and there's much bigger, I guess, when you think about the feeder organization, the whole process getting up to where you eventually get to be the money. It's much more involved in these other sports because they're much more in, like, you could play peewee football.
Mm-hmm.
Can you train MMA as a kid? You sure can. You can go take classes and stuff like that. But can you really compete? No, you can't compete until you get to a certain age. You know, is that, you know, so does that maybe change where maybe some of the trajectories are? Probably more so than the fact of where the end money is. Because at that point, kids, even in high school and other stuff, they're thinking about just the love of the sport. They want to be there on Friday night in front of all the hot chicks and their friends playing football on the field, they're not thinking about, well, man, I could go to the gym and train and hoping that eventually in a couple of years I'm going to be able to fight an amateur fight, you know. It's just different.
It's different,
you know.
Man.
And maybe if you're the, maybe in, if there was a feeder
system. You're working in silence,
system,
you're working in shadows, yeah. And it ain't fun.
Yeah.
It's hard. You know what I mean?
Maybe if there are more opportunities for them to get that competition and do stuff when they were smaller, maybe that would set the path to where they would have that conversation at a certain point. Okay. Yeah, I think sometimes people think about wrestling. Wrestling is a great sport, but they could take it up to the Olympics. And
right.
That was enough for people. And I think some people now at a certain point, they realize that the Olympics isn't just the end game. They can go off into MMA and
yep.
find money.
Yep.
And now I feel like we start to see some of that conversation happen with people that had a path that was only one limited way
yep.
and now see something else. So maybe if it starts building up smaller, and then that question would, I think, be more relevant as for when somebody's making a decision to pursue a combat sport
right.
as a eventual life choice, as opposed to, say, football or one of the sports that we glorify.
Yep.
You know, and maybe if MMA, I mean, the people that love it glorify it, but on the whole, it's most people still see it pretty savage.
It's always going to be a niche
yeah.
sport. Like I've said this from the beginning, like, you know, people make fun of Dana for saying it's going to be the biggest sport on earth. I appreciate that. Like I said, if you're running a company, you should never make it to be like, hey, we're going to be like the fourth biggest. Like,
yeah.
no, we're going to be the biggest. I don't think it'll ever be the biggest. I do think globally it could be in terms of like, because most of the globe doesn't care about American football. But as far as like
yeah.
in America, it's never going to be the biggest sport. It's always going to be a little bit of a niche sport because it's a combat sport. And there's just going to be always people that just don't like it. And I've said, and there's always, and it still happens to this day. There's still a lot of people, you know, it's kind of an old-fashioned way of looking at things. But I still, people say like, I don't really like women's MMA. Like, I like MMA, but I just don't think girls should be punching each other.
Yeah,
it's an old-fashioned way of thinking.
Yeah, I haven't heard that one in a while, but I remember hearing
every
that
now and then. I hear
past,
it when
yeah.
I'm having like traveling, just having like generic conversations with
yeah.
people. I mean, obviously, anybody in the, if you're in this sport, you're not like, well, I just love MMA, but the women's fights, I don't like those. But if people on the outside, they
yeah.
have like come, because remember, it wasn't that long ago. This was human cockfighting, and
yeah.
they were trying to be banned. So I have seen people that are like, well, I'm okay with it, but I don't like it when the girls fight each other. It's kind of funny.
Well, and it's one thing, too, if they're just like, they feel like an aversion of seeing females fight. And then there's those that are just like, I don't like women's MMA.
Well,
because it's boring.
Yeah.
You know, then there's two different mindsets, you know.
Yeah, yeah, that's different.
You know, and that's different,
yeah.
you know. But, yeah, I haven't heard in a while when I have heard that it was boring, but I ignore those ones because I happen to like it.
Oh,
but
girls are
it
awesome.
It has been a minute since I've heard somebody that was like,
I think that's one of the coolest things about MMA is that, like, the sport is exactly the same, right? Because, like,
yeah.
I know you started to cover a lot of WNBA now with the Aces
yeah.
and being around that. It is a little bit different game, right? I mean, the way the games are played. I mean,
yeah.
yes, you go back and forth and you put a ball through a hoop, but the way the games are played are a little bit different simply because of the size of the athletes
yeah.
and the body and that sort of thing. I just feel like MMA, out of all the sports, is like the closest to just being the men and women are doing the exact damn thing. And again, I'm not trying to
yeah.
minimize the WNBA. I'm not saying that. I'm just, you know, it's just a little bit different. There's not the high-flying dunks and
yeah.
that sort
yeah,
of
yeah,
stuff.
Not seeing you're not seeing a bunch of dunk highlights.
Right, you know what I mean? Like,
but, I mean, they're fun shows. I mean, like, and it's almost like the crowd is different. You see a much more family sort of like young kids attending the WNBA because usually the price point's
a lot lower,
is more
right?
reachable
yep.
than an NBA game, which works in their favor, and then they pack the house. I mean,
yep.
maybe it'd be that way if it was an NBA, but I think those sports are, I think if anything, they try to lower it, it would just be the same dudes that go to it that are
right?
already doing it. It'd be hard to compete.
It's tough.
But I really enjoy it. And then back to the environment over at the Aces games, it's a lot of fun. I mean, they put on a really good event. I mean, they put as much effort, not saying the players, but as in the promotion
right.
when you're there in the venue,
package,
you feel like they're trying to make it just like it's a, you
it's
know,
awesome.
One of the M's game.
I'm actually, I'm going to be taking my son to his first NFL game this year. I haven't been in an NFL game in forever.
Yeah, it's been ages.
I mean, obviously, we're always working on the weekends and traveling, and Sundays are tough. And obviously, we didn't have a team here for years and years. And
some say we don't, still don't.
Wow,
yeah,
look at that.
Yeah,
the Raiders have not done well lately. But the Cowboys are coming on a Monday night. So
the
Cowboys and the Raiders on Monday night. And so I'm actually going to take my kid to his first NFL game, go see a Monday night football game. So.
Yeah, but you're going to be wearing the Cowboys
stuff. Oh, yeah, we're wearing all our Cowboys gear.
Is he going to wear Cowboys stuff? Or are you going to
yeah.
let him wear Raiders?
He'll wear whatever he wants, but I think he'll take Cowboys.
I bet he goes Raiders.
Nah, I think he'll take Cowboys. I think he's He's still
because then he's like, Dad, they won't bug you too much if I'm in the Raiders. They'll be like, they'll give you a pass.
But I don't know. The Vegas Raiders, it's not like the old school Raiders where you wouldn't dare. Like, you know, my boss at CFFC is a season ticket holder to the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, you wouldn't wear a road jersey to a Philadelphia Eagles game, right? I mean, you would not.
Is that the place where that dude there was a viral video of some guy beating up some fans outside in the, I want to say it was Philadelphia.
I would not be shocked.
Somebody got arrested for
beating
up some of the road
team
or something.
That's kind of crazy, man. Like the violence.
Some people go fucking crazy.
I don't think it'll be. I don't think they'll.
No, this is not.
This is different.
No, it's different.
This is different. All right, last pick. Sergey Pavlovich, Waldo Cortez Acosta. Which way did you go there?
I went Pavlovich.
Yeah, I did too. I like Waldo Cortez Acosta a lot too, but.
I'm still high on Pavlovich. I mean, there was that point where I think I picked him against Aspinall, and I would just, I'm still high on him. I think he wasn't his day. Aspinall showed up, but I mean, I still think Pavlovich is the real deal. I think he's got a lot of power, and I think he's going to he'll be the one to, I think he'll be the one to dictate the pace, but yeah, he's the one I went with for sure.
I agree. If not, boy, this would be a huge breakout opportunity for Waldo Cortez.
Oh my gosh.
That's what a big win this would be for him.
You win this, and then he starts calling out the champ,
Maybe he starts calling out Josh Hawkett.
Yeah. Oh, that guy's a character.
That dude is a character. Listen, it's on right now, so I won't mention it, but PFL MMA is wrapping up their championship season tonight. So hopefully if you listen to this, you caught the highlights or you can watch the replay of it. So, yeah, enjoy it.
Yeah.
Anything else going on in life? You had to interrupt briefly there for your dog?
Yeah, I thought he was making the stance over there. I was like, bro. Because me and Morgan, we tape at a table, and we're always at different sides. So I was like looking over there, and I saw him walking around, and it looked like he was making a move, like he was going to go have a little accent. I was like, wait a second.
Threw you off your game over here, man. Costa de Cold Coffee for however long we've been taping here, man. We've always sat in opposite seats of where we're sitting today. So it feels all different.
It totally is different. I'm like, oh, so that's what that side of the room looks like.
Oh, man. All right, listen, I'm going to go spend a little time with the family. Maybe I'll take the kid over to Costco, too.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Make a second run through there. And
all in the same busy day?
See if they're still giving up some caviar over there.
Oh, yeah, well, okay, there you go. Now that makes sense.
I was checking out their Wagyu beef prices, and they have some nice frosty beverage prices as well.
Yeah?
What
was the Wagyu beef?
It was like Japanese A5 Wagyu for like $60 a pound.
Wow.
Wasn't that bad?
Only $60.
Yeah, only $60 a pound. I think at Butcher Block, it's like $90 a pound.
Oh, really?
Something like that. So, yeah.
All right. Then, never mind.
Now, granted, these were like 4-pound ribs, so it was like a $300 piece of meat. But
I was going to say, I've never seen a price tag on one of their things that's not like under $150
more. These were like $300 pieces of meat, man. It was crazy.
Yeah.
That's GM life, baby. Gotta love it. Speaking of, next week we will be coming to you. I will be in Atlantic City, actually bringing my wife and kid out to Atlantic City as well, so they can enjoy the boardwalk before it closes down for the winter time. So CFFC next week, and then coming up, man, we got a stretch of 4 events in 4 consecutive weeks. So I'm really looking forward to that. That'll be fun. We're doing a little bit of everything. We got 2 MMA events in there, 1 next gen event in there, 1 grappling event as well. So a lot of big news and announcements coming forth on that. So pay attention for that. And we will. The MMA Roadshow will definitely be on the road a lot more here in the coming 6 weeks or so. Yeah, just me. Not you. You'll be enjoying the couch life from the proper seat that you're supposed to be in. Hopefully everybody gets up early, watches a little MMA from Shanghai. We'll wrap it up on the and a half episode for everybody over at patreon.com/MMA Roadshow. Catch the end of the PFL. They've actually had a pretty good season, man, to be honest with you. They're doing some things. So, although things aren't going well between Don Davis and Francis Ngannou, but we'll get into that another time. We'll see how that all plays out. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Ha ha ha!
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.